Acts chapter 5, and I'll start in verse 25. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared the people would stone them. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." And so we'll stop there for now, and we'll linger on a little further as we go through the message this morning. I think this is an important message for us in the times in which we live. So would you join me as we pray together? Father, thank you for the privilege, the freedom that you give us to open your word, to proclaim the truths about Jesus Christ. And Father, we come with different things going on in our lives, maybe even different things going on in this room where we're watching and listening. And so we pray, Father, that you would still us to be able to hear your word, but also to bring our questions and our concerns of this world into this conversation that we're having. Would your spirit guide us? Would your spirit challenge us? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How to Think Like a Rocket Scientist. It's a book written by a man named Ozan Verrill. I recently heard him interviewed on a podcast describing the dangers of success, which blind us to small flaws, which can lead to failure in the future. He had the experience of working with NASA during the time of some of the space shuttle years. It's a program which officially ended in 2011, if you can believe that, though it had had limited function in the years following the tragedy of the Columbia mission in 2003. For those of you who can't remember back that far, there's lots of information available on the internet. What intrigued me in listening to Mr. Verrill was his focus on failure. He talked about failing slowly. Often we rush past failure in our pursuit of success, but Mr. Verrill suggests the importance of purposeful examination of both success and failure. Ultimately, both can be addressed with one question: why? Knowing why helps us, both in success and in failure. Why realigns us to our purpose and provides motivation, accountability, and adaptive creativity. In essence, this question of why provides the propulsion or the action of moving forward, fairly significant in rocket science. In this series that we're in, we are looking at the work of the Holy Spirit, the active agent in the lives of the first followers of Jesus and to all who have since asked Jesus to be their Savior. Asking why enables our capacity to navigate difficulty, even opposition, and it provides us with the motivational force that we need to carry on. Now, when I look at this passage, it might be easy to forget something very, very important. And it's actually just one word, a word that is a name, the name of Peter. Peter is the one who is speaking to the authorities on behalf of the rest of the apostles. Let that sink in. Peter. The emotionally frenetic one, the simple-minded fisherman, the one who is quick to speak and slow to listen, Peter who brashly thought he could walk on the water and then sunk, Peter who misunderstood the necessity for that Jesus would need to suffer in order to be able to bring about the plan of God, Peter who impetuously resisted and opposed the Roman guards by cutting off the ear of one of the soldiers who came to arrest Jesus, Peter who, when surrounded by the safety of like-minded peer group, declared his allegiance to Jesus but became ashamed and afraid to even declare his knowing Jesus just later that evening, not once, but repeatedly. Peter, who despondently went back to the fishing to his fishing boat after the resurrection of Jesus. This is the Peter who is speaking. A previously weak-willed, scattered, people-pleaser kind of guy. And by many accounts, a failure. Until he learned to trust the truth of Jesus' commission and the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. The why for those of us who consider ourselves followers of Jesus is to see other people, men, women, boys, girls, of all social classes, of all ethnicities, to become and develop into genuine followers of Jesus Christ. This is important for us to keep in mind during these days when it can seem that government and public policy are sliding further and further away from biblical principle. And the individualism of our culture encourages criticism at every turn. Now, let me be clear. I'm not here to tell you not to oppose our government, because I think there are times when we need to. However, I do think that there are some important things that we need to keep in mind if we're going to do so. And I don't think many of us handle that very well. So we can disobey our governing authorities, firstly, if we're willing to honor them. We must always honor them. You see how Peter and the other apostles, even though they were arrested previously for teaching and helping others in the name of Jesus, and even though they had spent a night in jail, and even though God had freed them from their jail cell, it's one of three jailbreaks that are recorded for us in the book of Acts, which, by the way, would also make a good study for those of you who want something to examine a little deeper. Now, though Peter and those apostles were back doing what they had been arrested for, preaching in the name of Jesus. However, when the authorities came for them again, there's no resistance offered. There's no "God told me to." There is no objection. There's no sense of fear. There is complicity and there's submission. And don't you want to know why? Complaining, ridiculing, being oppositional and defiant is not what we're called to be. It's not how Jesus dealt with those in authority. We are called to transform our communities through truth and grace, the truth and grace of the kingdom of God. When we lose sight of the why, then we can become discouraged. We tend to complain. We look to place blame or resist those who might voice opposition towards us. In our current culture, it seems very trendy to complain, to ridicule, to post on social media or participate in protests against almost anything that comes from those in authority over us. That's one of the reasons why I think this passage that we're looking at today is so instructive for us. We are being challenged and pressured into mindlessly voicing in opposition to our governing authorities. And many of us have wavered and some have failed. But remember, so did Peter and most of the apostles that are with him. So we have something to learn from them. Peter's example, not only in his presence here, but also in his teaching, in his own writing in 1 Peter chapter 2, echo the message found in Romans chapter 13 and Paul's instruction to Timothy regarding those in authority over us. The consistent message throughout Scripture is that we are to honor those in authority over us. Honor them. Understand that. Notice, secondly, that we can disobey the governing authorities when they oppose God's will. Peter says this: we must obey God rather than human beings. It is a defining statement for followers of Jesus. But it does not give us the freedom to do whatever we like or whatever we think is appropriate and acceptable. There are certain times and topics that require the voice of the church to be more prevalent, particularly in issues where the value of human life is questioned or compromised, or where injustices are prevalent, and where the freedom to live out our faith is being denied. However, our voice cannot be reserved for only times of opposition. We must earn the right to be heard. through a delicately held balance of honor and commitment to the greater mission of God. Why did Peter engage the way that he did? Why? Peter's capacity to move forward in his relationship with Jesus is based on the way in which he had seen Jesus change his life. He gives witness or verbal evidence to those changes, and the work of the Holy Spirit, who's actively invigorating those who desire to live in obedience to the Great Commission and give life to the Great Commandment, as Pat Turvey unpacked for us over these last 2 weeks. That Holy Spirit also testifies within us, bears witness within us, talks to us to help us in our decisions. In 2018, the government of Canada restructured the Canada Summer Jobs Program, requiring organizations to affirm their agreement with a stance that had at its root the pro-abortion political movement. Some of you will remember that as a church, we applied for and were denied our original application that year, even though we'd been approved for several years in a row prior. However, we appealed that decision and submitted a letter to express that appeal. Part of that letter said this: "We respect your authority to make the decision. However, despite the government's statements, it appears that the decision being made here has little to do with the beneficial actions of those jobs for our community, the students involved in our organization. Our core mandate, that is, where our meaning and beliefs are formed, and the statements which direct our activities, do not come first from the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. In all that we do, we respect the Charter as it seeks to represent the respecting of the individual rights of all Canadians. Our position on the Charter, however, is a subset of our core mandate, which is to love God with all our hearts, soul, and mind, and to love others as we love ourselves. This last statement is our core mandate, and it compels us to demonstrate respect, compassion, and grace to others, even if we don't agree with their beliefs or their actions." Our appeal letter finished with these words: "We are committed to honoring our core mandate, which also includes a commitment to prayer for those governing over us, a commitment to live peacefully in our community, and a commitment to serve the diverse needs of a diverse community with a fullness of truth and a fullness of grace." And then we sent it off. And to our surprise, our application was approved and the funding granted. And from my understanding, we were the only church in the country to oppose the attestation and be granted funding. And while that is praiseworthy indeed, it doesn't always happen that way. You see, we can disobey governing authority, but thirdly, only if we are willing to accept the consequences of their decisions. This is a really significant aspect of our relationship to the governing authority and of resisting them. And I think it's an aspect where followers of Jesus in our culture, we need to improve on that significantly. We fear negative consequence, and we are quick to complain when our comforts are threatened. And certainly over these last 4 months, it has revealed the frailty of our character and for some, the immaturity that exists. Peter and the apostles were taken and flogged, it says in verse 40. They were physically beaten before they were released. They had disobeyed the orders given to them, and these were their consequences. But there is no hint of resentment. There is no hint of resistance. How we respond to opposition is vital for the advancement of the kingdom agenda. You can look back, you know, in Daniel chapter 3, we see the respectful protests of three young men, and they then face punishment by death, being thrown into a fiery pit. They accept the consequence. In Daniel chapter 6, Daniel himself is arrested because of an unjust law that was put in place in order to trap him in the simple practice of prayer. His response demonstrates honor and respect and points out the opposition of God's truth in the decision, but it also demonstrates a willingness to accept the consequence or the judgment of the authority of the day. The whole book of Esther, though it never mentions the name of God, it clearly demonstrates the capacity of one voice in the right place at the right time with the right demeanor to respectfully oppose the unjust government and their policy of genocide with a willingness to accept the consequences, even though if they had personal implications. Lastly, we can disobey the governing authority as a recognition of God's eternal kingdom rule. In Acts chapter 5 and verses 41 and 42, it says, "The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name," that is the name of Jesus. "And day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah." As this scene closes, we see the resolve of Peter and the apostles. Having been beaten and then released, they resume their commitment to fulfilling the mission of God. They understood that their greatest allegiance is to Jesus as Messiah. Jesus, Messiah, the one who saves. They knew that Jesus doesn't just come to save us from the punishment of personal sin, but he also saves us for something. And that something is to be ambassadors of his kingdom, a kingdom that is now but not yet fully fulfilled, and that we operate under his authority, that all the authority of the kingdom was conveyed by Jesus to us in order for us to go and make disciples. Therefore, we're free. We're free to honor. We're free to respectfully oppose. We're free to humbly accept decisions, and we're free to press on according to the mission. In the fall of 2015, I had the life-changing privilege to visit both Hong Kong and mainland China. My purpose in going to mainland China was to meet with underground house church leaders, to listen to their stories and to learn from their faithfulness. One of the pastors I spoke with was at the time leading a government-sanctioned church where children are not permitted to attend, where attendance is taken and where police presence is non-discreet. We talked about his preparations unseen in developing a network of house churches because he felt that the government would soon be making already tough matters even more difficult for followers of Jesus. And in fact, that is now the case. In the last year or more, the Chinese government has made it illegal to assemble in groups of more than 15 people. It was 50 people back in 2015. This law is a specific effort to try and discourage and eliminate the work of the good news of the kingdom of God. But it's not working. One of the things that struck me in my conversation with these leaders was that they never talked about the constant surveillance that they were under. They never talked about repeatedly being brought into the police stations for questioning. They never talked about the jail time that they served or the punishment that they might have faced. You see, it was accepted as part of the cost of following Jesus. They rejoiced to be counted worthy just like Jesus because they understood the why. The leader I spoke to said it this way, "I don't see an alternative." Now he was speaking Chinese. "I don't see an alternative. The faithful example of those who have endured even more than me is still fresh. The example of our Lord is faithfulness to God's mission even in the midst of suffering. Therefore, he will continue to do what God has called him to do, no matter the cost." Isn't that amazing? He understood the why. If God could rescue and redeem the Israelites from the grip of slavery under Pharaoh's regime, if God could reestablish the Jews from the tyranny of the Babylonians, if God could establish the church in the midst of the totalitarian rule of the Roman government, then surely God can help us deal with our Western culture, majority world inconveniences for the advancement and fulfillment of His kingdom. And so perhaps the better question for us to consider, instead of how do we disobey governing authorities, is how am I contending for the kingdom of God, the rule of Jesus Christ? If we focus on the latter question rather than the former, I believe that we could see the Spirit of God move us according to the kingdom agenda much more significantly than we currently are. It is possible that we are too earthly minded to be of heavenly good. So what do we do with this? Let me encourage us to do five things, and they can be summarized like this: erase, E, examine. Examine our attitudes and our actions towards those in authority. R, repent. Change our thinking. Confess to God those areas that have been motivated out of selfish desire and ease or comfort. Number three, advocate. Speak intelligently, let me underscore that, about issues of truth, and speak gracefully to those in authority over us. And if you can't do that, then speak positively about those who are already making a positive difference. S, seek. Talk to God. Talk to God about raising up people, and talk to other people about Jesus and His kingdom plan. And number five, engage. Get involved with local, national, and international agencies that are making a difference in areas of injustice and that are advancing the kingdom, God's kingdom agenda. E-R-A-S-E, erase. It's a way to move past our failure or trepidation from the past and to be used of God, empowered by His Holy Spirit, to make a kingdom difference right where you are, just like Peter did. Now, let me leave you with this before we go. I've mentioned a number of passages throughout this lesson today. I talked about Daniel chapter 3 and Daniel chapter 6 and Jeremiah chapter 29 is a story about of the Jewish nation in captivity in Babylon. And Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 is a very famous and popular verse for a number of people. But if you read right from the beginning of the chapter, look at God's instruction to how they ought to live, even though they have been taken into captivity. And then you look at this passage in Romans chapter 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2 as well. And it'd be great for you just to take a little time, maybe even now around the room that you're in, if you're gathered with others, to be able to look at some of those things and see how they fit with the outline that we've provided here today. God has a consistent way that He wants us to deal with those in authority over us, whether those are as children to parents, as students to teachers, as workers to our boss or management, and as citizens in our country to those who have political leadership over us. God has a way for us to do that, and we have to earn the right to speak into those areas that we disagree. And those are things that I think my consideration is that we need to improve upon that. But God, by His Spirit, wants to empower us to do just that, just like He did for those in the first church, for Peter and the apostles. May it be true for us. Let's pray together. Father, thank You. Thank You for Your word that speaks right into our current circumstances. And we, as we listen to the word, at least as I do, hear it back through my mind again, I say, forgive us. Forgive us for thinking ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Thank you for redeeming our lives through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may we not lose track of the gift of the Holy Spirit that you've given to those of us who have trusted Christ as our Savior. And that your Spirit wants to lead us to make a difference in the circumstances that we're in. And so, Father, would you help us to speak truth, to speak the name of Jesus, and to do it with grace. We pray, Father, that you would give us courage and a spirit of perseverance in the face of opposition. But we also pray, Father, that you'd keep us mindful and aware of those who are yearning for an alternative to what is being presented to them in all kinds of different formats that leave them empty and wondering and perhaps even angry. We pray for our city, we pray for our province, we pray for our country, and we pray for our world, Father. We need the kingdom to come. We need our Savior to return as a coming king, to establish his rule forever. Align our hearts with that. When we ask the question why, may the rule of Jesus our King, be the answer that you bring to our minds. So go with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.